morning, Pet Appreciators. Good morning, Twin Cities, and welcome to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Winter wonderland out there. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I do. Some of you might be sick of it or disagree with me, but oh my God, I think it's just beautiful. I don't even mind shoveling, even though I do have help, you know, to get it all done. But I just think it's a beautiful winter wonderland. And I want to say good morning to Dr. Nicole, too. You're back on the show. We're so happy to have you back, Dr. Nicole. And how are you? And are you a winter wonderland in Wisconsin?
Good morning. Yes, it definitely is a winter wonderland. And I think it's beautiful as well. I just, it's hard to drive when you drive to work. You know, I'm sure you're driving all over in it all day. But yeah, it takes about, you know, double the time to get everywhere. So that's the only part of the wonderland that I'm not totally loving, but it is very pretty.
Well, and you know, being here in the urban area, the crews worked just tirelessly last night, so the roads are pretty good, at least where I was this morning. Are you, when you said you were driving, or, you know, talking about driving and how hard that is, are you at the clinic this morning?
Nope, I'm at home. I I don't even know how long it would have taken me, because it's been taking me about 2 hours to get to work and then 2 hours to get home from work on these really bad roads, because I don't take any like major highways, really. I mean, I take highways, but I'm not on freeways and things like that. So it's just kind of been, I don't know, I'm ready for it to be over.
I was going to say exhausting.
I'm a little bit ready.
It's exhausting, because you're like, your highways, yes, are like country highways. You know, they're, yes, they're through the cornfields. And so, yeah, so I can imagine how, for me, exhausting, because you have to concentrate. And, you know, I mean, if it's not, you know, when it's fresh snow like that, it's hard to tell the difference where the end of the road is. You know what I mean?
It is, and there's always people. I always baffle my, it's always baffling to me how people, even in like little cars, are like passing me when I'm in like an all-wheel drive SUV, and I'm still scared.
Right.
They're like blowing by me in like a little sedan car. Just like, how can you do that? It's just very scary to me. And yes, I will be happy when it's done, because it's been hard with little Ninja, our diabetic foster, because he needs his insulin, you know, every 12 hours or so. And so when I work a 10-hour shift, you know, I have to, you know, plan for that. So our neighbor has helped, you know, before. Grant's helped a couple times. It's just, yes, I'm ready to be able to get places in an hour like I normally can.
Right.
But it,
right,
is pretty.
It is pretty. Yep. And even some of the dogs come to life. You know what I mean? Like they may be just,
yes,
like I was thinking of Banjo this morning. He's somebody that comes with us on field trips three times a week. And then, you know, boards quite often on the weekends. And he's, you know, getting up there in age, but I wouldn't call him a senior quite yet. But, you know, a little bit of arthritis every once in a while might flare up once a week, maybe twice a week, and last for a couple hours. You know what I mean? Just, you know, the soreness or whatever. And he's fine, you know, with the other dogs. Not super playful, but he'll get into it every once in a while. But today, I cannot tell you how many times he would run the length of the fenced-in area that we have at our building all by himself. He just wanted to be all by himself. Prancing through the snow, one end to the other, one end to the other. And he loved it. He absolutely loved it. And it brings me great joy to see these animals enjoy. Well, I shouldn't say these animals. It's just the dogs. But, you know, to open the door and show them, you know, fresh snow,
yeah,
you know, and how they respond to it and react, because they're so much more into it, you know, sometimes than we are. But I've just had a joyful morning, and I hope all of you have had some joy this morning, too, even when you're out there shoveling and maybe snow plowing. And the good thing, too, the wonderful thing that happened, Pet Appreciators, is I was at the building when the snow plow guy came, which means I was able to move all the vehicles and have the whole thing plowed. And that's a beautiful sight. And
yeah.
It was just great. Now I just know that nobody's going to get stuck going up the little incline and whatever of the parking lot. And I just feel really good. I'm feeling good today, Pet Appreciators. But who wants to talk about that? I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Greg, who Nicole does not know about yet, even though I texted you very, very briefly at the end of last,
yeah,
week's show. So, Greg, if you're listening and want to call back in, go right ahead. But Greg had called, and I promised him that I would address this with you, Dr. Nicole. Have you address it, I mean. But he, I believe he had a lab or something, probably like a lab. No issues at all with his nasal, his nose, snout, whatever, the nose part. And like no discharge or nothing like that. And they were, I believe it was like, I think this has been going on about 9 months. So I think they were like hiking or camping or something like that last summer. And he had gotten sniffed something, and something had gotten stuck, you know, maybe a little tiny twig or something in one of his nostrils. And so, you know, he did take him, and he knew that because it was like some discharge, you know. And so I keep rubbing my nose. I'm not picking it, engineers, but it probably looks like that because I'm very, my hands are constantly moving when I'm talking. And so I'm rubbing the side of my nose. I was just like, engineers, no, don't get any ideas. But anyway, sorry. Okay, so, but there was some discharge. And so he took him to the vet, and sure enough, there was some debris is what he called it, I believe, some debris. So that was removed. And you know what, though? The discharge, which he's never had before, no allergies, nothing, has still been going on now for 4, 5, 6 months later. And so we talked very briefly about how I would bring it up with you and how I'm not a vet, but I would strongly recommend bringing him back to the vet, you know, for more thorough x-rays. Maybe they didn't get all of the debris out. Maybe there's some scar tissue there that's causing, you know, listen to me, I don't know what I'm talking about, but, you know, something, you know, maybe it just didn't heal right. But, and I'm assuming he did that or he will, but you know, if you were a veterinarian dealing with that kind of thing, what would you do for the second time around? What's your advice? What are your thoughts when you hear about this?
Well, the first thought or the first thing I'll mention is just that any type of foreign bodies, you know, up in the nose or the nasal passage there are very, very hard for a regular veterinarian to kind of deal with, because the only tools we really have would be, you know, the little, if you think about going to the vet and we look in their ears with the little otoscope. It's that little, you know, the little light with the cone. That's about all we have at our disposal to really use, like at a regular office. And so dogs also really, really hate to have things put up their nose when they're awake, as you can imagine. So, you know, if this dog came to me, I would try carefully to look up the nostril with that little cone. If that usually isn't enough to be able to see something, so then the next step would be sedating the dog and getting a really good look up there with that cone. And I have had one case over the past few years that where there was a little stick that we were able to pull out that way. But then while sedated, I would also probably take an x-ray or two of the skull just to make sure there's no, you know, sinus passages that are sinus cavities that look irritated or inflamed or one side is not symmetrical to the other. And if that all doesn't work, definitely these dogs, I think, need to be referred for rhinoscopy. And that would be done at a specialty hospital like the University of Minnesota or Blue Pearl, where they put a little scope up the nose. Obviously, they're sedated. And they can go all the way up their nasal passage and see, you know, what's going on. Is there still something there? You know, is there, you know, like you said, scar tissue, is there a mass or could this be a fungal component or something like that? It seems like it's just due to a foreign body, especially if they were able to get debris out. But they may be able to do even like a nasal flush or something where they flush the passages. It's just not something that I think a lot of vets are experienced enough to do. But that's kind of what I would suggest. And I know that's expensive, you know, to refer somewhere for a rhinoscopy, but I think it would be worth it in this case.
Yeah, because it seems like the symptoms are still there. Maybe not as strong, yeah, but there's still nasal discharge, and that's got to be uncomfortable. And, you know, my worry was like, maybe it's an infection. Maybe they took it out, but then, you know, it wasn't cleaned or sand, I don't know. You know what I mean? And maybe there was an infection there. But he did say that the doctor, you know, did put the dog on antibiotics and he had the full dose. So then I thought, well, you know what, Dr. Nicole, you're going to deal with this, but you're, you know, you're right. I would just think it would be very hard to get something out and to see too.
It is, because there's just nothing. I mean, that at least at my practice, and, you know, to a couple other, you know, friends that are veterinarians as well, there just isn't a tool, I guess, that you can see up there far enough with, and especially if the dog is not sedated. You know, the one case that I had, it was probably within the past year, you know, we did sedate the dog and we looked up there and, oh, it was hard because you had to almost pull the, you had to look up there with the scope, with the cone. And then one of my colleagues had to basically take the fur aside of the muzzle to kind of pull open so it would open up the nasal passage more. It was really, really, really hard. And so finally, you know, between a few of us, we were able to do that just perfect enough where we could see a stick. And we were able to use this little tool where we stuck it through the cone and grabbed it a little bit. But it was very, very, very stressful. I think it would have been much easier if it had been handled, you know, with a scope, because they can take biopsies or they can, you know, grab things a little bit better, and they just are going to have better tools than we do. So I think, yeah, I definitely would bring him somewhere to a specialty place just to hopefully get it taken care of once and for all.
Right. And what's the correct definition of a rhinoscopy? Is that just like a nasal exam? How would you
it's
describe
like a nasal
that?
Scope. If you think about like endoscopy, you know, that's a scope where, you know, you're going down the esophagus. You know, colonoscopy, if you think about that, that's a colon. But yeah, so rhinoscopy is just a scope that goes up the nose.
Okay. I sure hope Greg is listening, and I sure hope it's you know, that they did go back to the vet, that they were referred in to get this taken care of once and for all. But, you know, pet appreciators, maybe you've been in that same situation, you know, out hiking or just something in the backyard that they've sniffed, you know. And so that might be a good clue for you if you're experiencing the same thing. But we are going into a commercial break. Please stay with us. Thank you.
Did you know the average February temperature in Minnesota is under 16 degrees? Here's a better February number. You can get a brand new furnace from Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for just $2,300 this February. Just $2,300 for all the cozy comfort and reliability of a brand new furnace. Don't wait. This offer ends when February does. Some restrictions apply. Visit standardheating.com for details. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show, airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
Moe's Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1971, providing a full spectrum of tax preparation and associated services. Think about it. Why would you take your most important financial information to a franchise operation with a cheap basic package that goes up dramatically once you're in the door? You can find out all you need to know about Moe's by visiting www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or call them at 612-721-2026. Don't be a blockhead. Go to the professionals at Moe's Tax Service.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the fifth, mostly annual, Dionysus Awards.
From Get Out to Dunkirk, this past year's movies raised profound philosophical questions.
Like, why do people have such a strong tendency to denigrate the other?
And who moves history more, the great leader or the soldier at the front?
We'll talk to philosophers, film critics, and thoughtful moviegoers like you.
The Dionysus Awards, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Catch Philosophy Talk every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. on AM 950.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible. For many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetime. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And I forgot to mention the call-in number at the top of the, or the beginning of the show in the last segment, but it's 952-946-6205. So if you have any questions for Dr. Nicole, always feel free to call in. Or if you just want to add something to the conversation, please do that as well. We're also happy to make announcements. So if you have something pet-related coming up, please call, you know, and let us know for that as well. Matter of fact, I have a couple quick announcements here before we get into the next topic with Dr. Nicole. But today, if you have some extra time and you're interested, the Chuck and Dawn store in West St. Paul, again, Chuck and Don's in West St. Paul, is having a pet massage demo. So if you think your pet would be interested in that, or you want to learn a little bit more on massaging your pet, there's a free demo over at that store today. I think that's a great idea. So if you're in the area or want to make that jaunt, that might be a good thing to do, especially if you have some pet food shopping to do. You can always swing by there and be part of that pet demo. It's from noon until 2 o'clock today. Noon until 2 o'clock. Now, this is a second mention. I did bring it up last week, I think, maybe the week before, but I'm just tickled by it. It's the St. Patrick's Day brunch with your dog at the Howe Daily Kitchen and Bar, which is in South Minneapolis off Minnehaha. Isn't it? Minnehaha Avenue. And it's March 17th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And there'll be some dog-friendly things going on and, you know, somebody with a camera taking pictures for everybody. But what and there'll be some simple giveaways. But what tickles me the most is that they have a dog menu, you know, for food. So you can sit down and eat your own, and you can order something off the dog menu for your dog. And I'm so curious to see what they actually serve. I meant to go to the rest. What do you call that? Online, the online
website.
Thank you, and see what their menu was. But I'm just tickled by that. And so if you want a unique experience, I wonder if more restaurants will start doing that are dog friendly. But anyways. It should be fun. It should be fun if you're a St. Patty's Day kind of person. The other thing, and you know what? That's March 17th. Sorry about that, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The other thing I noticed, and again, all of these things I'm taking off of sidewalkdog.com. So if you don't can't write it down or whatever, just go sidewalkdog.com and click on their events page. But there's a reactivity seminar for dogs that are just overly reactive to things, whatever. I suppose that is self-explanatory, but a reactivity seminar. It's a one-day seminar for $100, and it's all day, and they do want you to bring your dog. 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. It's by a woman. Oh, I forgot to write her last name. Danielle is her first name, but she runs High Spirits Dog Training in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Danielle, High Spirits Dog Training. I don't know if I should give the phone number out over the air or not, but you can find it on sidewalkdog.com where it is listed. And it's at the Ava Quinn Acres in Maple Grove. Ava Quinn Acres in Maple Grove. Never heard of it, but so what? Sounds pretty cool. And that's Sunday, March 11th. Sunday, March 11th, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And I think it's very hands-on with your dog. And I kind of got the impression that even if they fill up spots with people and their dogs, that people can come without their dogs too. But they might not be able to, you know, handle more than what they specify the amount to be in terms of dogs. But it also sounds like there's a Facebook page too where, yikes, Kathy, you know, dog owners can share with each other, you know, and she probably facilitates that conversation a little bit, but share things with each other about what has worked in certain situations with their dogs. So it caught my attention because it seems like it's not just a class where you go and then it ends and then you're on your own, but this sounds like there's a good support system afterwards, a networking system. And the other thing I wanted to mention is somewhere in the paragraph of description, it did say something about, you know, this person's commitment to work with people of all income levels. It was something referring something about how, you know, training can be kind of expensive, but that some of her seminars can be a little bit more financially friendly. It's not quite what she said, but that's what I got out of it, and that's why I wanted to bring it up with anybody that might know somebody that could benefit from this and not really, you know, and that can pay something that they can, you know, afford or whatever. So again, go to sidewalkdog.com. It's the Reactivity Center. No, it isn't. Reactivity Seminar, Sunday, March 11th. So whatever, that's all I'm going to say about that. The other thing that I was wanted to bring up with Dr. Nicole, we only have 3 minutes, so we're going to have to go into the next hour with this, Dr. Nicole, is declawing cats. And I know you, if I remember correctly, you are against declawing. Is that right? Okay. Now, I do have
some... I can talk about that for hours, so...
Okay, good, good. So then we can go into the next one. But I have some wonderful clients. They had two Siamese cats that are declawed. One recently passed away, maybe a couple months ago. But they're getting ready to have... they want to add another declawed, that's the main thing, Siamese cat, and they found a female, I believe, through a rescue. So, but she's not declawed, and they just won't take her unless she is. And so she said that her vet doesn't and do decline. I know I called, remember how you called in a prescription for my little Skippy for the fluids? So I went to that vet, and they don't do it. I just asked them when I picked up the fluids. I don't know if you guys do it, but at this particular vet, you guys do not. Okay. At this particular vet, they didn't know of any other vets that declawed, but they suggested the Humane Society because they know that they've seen or heard cats not being advertised, but, you know, in their little descriptions that they are declawed. So, and this is a very wealthy family, very expensive furniture. Besides the decline, they're very, very attentive to their cats. They would be a wonderful home. Good nutrition, you know, takes care of the litter box. They're very, very attentive to their cats. The cats are everything to them, but they just absolutely will not have any cat ruin their furniture. And so so I just thought I would throw it out there. What would you – what do you,
oh, Kathy, you've got me revved up here.
I do?
Sorry,
okay.
Yes, you tell me when you need me to start.
Sounds like you need to let off some steam right now.
I don't know. I got a little bit hot. I'm trying to cool down a little bit.
Okay. Well, talking might help. So you've got 1 minute, okay. 30 seconds, and then I'll just interrupt you. Go for it.
Okay. Okay. You know, this is my, you know, personal opinion, but I do feel that if you care more about your furniture than a cat, then you shouldn't have cats. And I know that might be a very bold statement, but I think in my life there is nothing I am more passionate about than not, you know, amputating first digits of our cat.
Okay, and I'm just going to interrupt 1 second because we can hear every word, but almost every other word is a little bit far away.
Oh, weird. Okay. Okay, is that better?
I think so.
Okay, I just said it's probably a very bold statement, but I do feel at my core that if someone cares more about their furniture than the well-being of a cat, then I don't think cats are probably the right pets for that person. You know, I suggest, you know, maybe like a fish or guinea pig or something that can be kept in a cage or something like that. But I did say that there's nothing I'm more passionate about, I think, in my life than than not declawing cats. It's basically 10 amputations.
10 amputations.
Of the first digit of their hands or
okay.
their paws.
And I'm going to have to cut you off there just because of the music, but we'll start right back up. We'll start right back up, I promise. Thank you. Stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
Yep. Hello, I'm Dr. Vladimir von Surikov, the director and president of the Museum of Russian Art, which hosts the finest collection of Russian art in North America, as well as an award-winning gift shop, Izba. Unique gifts, artworks, and artisan-made products are sourced from artists and jewelers who use traditional Russian materials to create stunning pieces for purchase. Izba Gift Shop is on Facebook and Instagram. Our museum is at tmora.org. Visit Izba Gift Shop for that special gift you will cherish.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. My show touches people's hearts. I hear from Twin Cities listeners, and thanks to podcasts from listeners across the country, that the subjects I tackle, like our commonalities and our collective struggle to survive the human condition, really resonate. Join me this Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 950. Maybe, just maybe, I'll touch your heart too.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
If you're someone that counts on AM 950 to bring you the latest in progressive politics, news, and talk, remember, we can't do it alone. Support our many great advertisers and let them know you heard about their business on AM 950. If you don't know who to talk to, simply write AM 950 on your receipt. AM 950 is supported by small, local businesses, so you're not only helping us and those businesses, but our local economy as well. For a complete list of our sponsors, log on to am950radio.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 31, and tonight expect clear skies with a low around 15. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 38, and Tuesday partly sunny with another high of 38. Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is the Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe. Their menu features dishes ranging from vegetarian sandwiches to fresh burgers. Open Sunday through Tuesday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Wednesday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Come visit them at 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Welcome back, pet appreciators. Welcome back to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Dr. Nicole Peralta and myself, Kathy Menard. I forgot to say that during the first two segments, but that's who we are as part of the Pet Connection Show here, doing this show about 5 or 6 years together, probably close to six, or yeah, I think definitely 6 years now. But anyways, we love spending Sunday mornings with you. We're glad that you're listening with us this morning. And again, if there's anything that we can help with, share with, talk over with you, please call us at 952-946-6205. I just want to say this. It sounds corny, but Greg, if you're listening, the caller who called last time and you're just joining in, we did cover, you know, your dog's nasal issues here at the top of the hour. So if you wanted to go back and listen in the, I don't know what it's called, archives. What is it called, engineer? Archives?
The podcast? Yep. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. They can go back and listen.
Yep, yeah, on the webpage thing. We got it all podcasted, or it will be after the show.
All right, super. Thank you. So I just felt so bad that we couldn't address it right away for him. So just whatever. But now we're in a conversation that Nicole is very passionate about and very knowledgeable about, and that is about whether or not to declaw your cat. Because I have a client that wants to adopt a cat, not declawed, declawed, and that is kind of a game changer for them. Go ahead, Nicole. I won't interrupt anymore.
Sure. Well, one thing I was going to mention about the client that is looking to adopt is there are tons of cats that are in rescues already that are already declawed. So I think that's probably the route that they should go. I think there's been a lot of changes in the past year. I would even say, you know, it's very, very heartwarming to know that, you know, of all the places that you had asked, that you said that there were several that didn't do declaws, and that just makes me proud of our state, because, you know, I love working for my clinic. You know, I've worked there, you know, since 2011, and I was never more proud of that place than when they finally were like, yep, we're going to go no declaw. And I was just like, yes, you know. But basically, I think a lot of people don't really understand really what it is. I mean, I don't think they do. I think it's something that a lot of people used to do. You go in and you get your cat neutered and you get your cat declawed. You get them spayed, you get them declawed. You know, they just thought that's what you did. And it's definitely not what you do. Cats have claws for a reason. They have scent glands underneath their by their claws, so that when they're scratching, they're marking things. You know, they're marking things just as they would when they rub their little faces up on the sides of our walls and things like that. And basically, they do a lot with their claws. And so, if people can start in the very, very beginning, you know, trimming their kitty's claws and giving them places, ample, you know, appropriate places to scratch, you're going to be just fine. And that is what I think infuriates many cat advocates like myself, is that if we just try, you know, I'm living proof of that, you know, of the 11 cats that we have here, you know, Ninja is our foster, and he was declawed on all four of his feet. And I just cringe and want to cry when I look at him sometimes, because, you know, he stands differently. You know, his feet are, when he stands, cats are supposed to stand on their tiptoes, basically. They're not supposed to be standing with their toes kind of in the air, and that's kind of how he stands. But, you know, the other 10 cats that live here, you know, one is a foster, and then the other 9 are ours. I mean, they don't wreck our stuff, really. And to be honest, if they did, we wouldn't really care, because that's a part of having an animal. I know that sounds dumb, but I would much rather have my furniture get scratched than ever try to kind of mutilate a cat that way. And so I think a lot of people don't understand. They feel that if you do it by a laser, that's, you know, much more humane. It doesn't matter if you do it by a laser or by, you know, the old fashioned ways with a dog nail trimmer, where you just chomp all the way through there. It does not matter how you do it. You're still changing the way that cats were made, and you're changing the way that they walk. And to be honest, cats that are declawed have a lot of behavior problems. I mean, they're the more likely cats that are going to be urinating and defecating outside their litter boxes because their feet hurt. They have terrible arthritis when they become older. You can just see it on their x-rays, their elbows, their shoulders, their knees, their hips. It's just, they're riddled with arthritis because we've, over the years in declawing, we've changed the way that these cats have walked. And I just think it's such an unnecessary procedure. To me, it's the same as, you know, like if some people disagree with cropping of ears and things like that, just to have them look like a certain breed. This is very similar to that. The only difference here is that these cats have to walk then, basically, almost on bone, if you think about it. And so it's illegal now in, I think, over 30 countries and in several portions now of the U.S. I think New Jersey and New York, Denver, there's a lot of cities that are working on this. Nova Scotia now, I think, is making it illegal. It's taking the world by storm, and I'm so happy that that's the case. There are so many alternatives to declawing your cats. I've often told people that I will trim their cat's nails for free if they come to the vet clinic, you know, on my lunch break. I'll show them how to do it. It's so easy. I've had people, you know, send me massage gift certificates and, you know, letters like thanking them for explaining what it was and for showing them how easy it is to trim nails. I mean, they just weren't aware. There's, you know, little nail caps that you can glue on their nails. A lot of people use those.
Nail caps?
Yeah, there's just so much nowadays that you can do. You just have to believe in it and work hard at it. And usually it goes just fine.
Okay. Can we go back to nail caps?
Yes.
Okay. Only because where you send in the prescription when I can't drive all the way up to get the fluids for Skippy, I swear that I saw that out of the corner of my eye and it caught my attention. And I was like, at first I was like, booties for cats. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
But I didn't really like read it. You know, I just kind of, you know, was hanging out there waiting to pay and just caught my attention. But I've been in there a few times now and it's still there. And now when you said nail caps, I think that's what it is. I think that's what I saw, yeah. But I just made this caps, cats, booties. I just kind of put it all together, you know, and brushed it off. But I think that's what it is. So, okay, so nail caps, you put it on but the nails still grow. So, like, you put these caps on and then maybe you change them, take them off once a month, trim them, and put new ones back on? I mean, how, what do you explain?
Kind of, but yeah. So what we do is we actually trim the nails and then we glue the caps on. And as the nail grows, it will push the caps off. And there are going to be cats that chew them off, and it's kind of a pain sometimes, but you just have to stick with it. So we have cats coming in with their nail caps, like, let's say one is green, then one is gold. One is green, then gold for Green Bay Packers. You know, they have Vikings that come in.
Okay.
You know, so they'll come in with Christmas ones, like, you know, green and red and Halloween. And so, like, they make a ton of different, like, sparkly colors and fun colors. And I just love when I see cats coming in with those because it, I know that those owners, they care more about the cat than they do about their furniture. And I just, it just warms my heart. And they're willing to try. And I just, there's just so many things you can do. There's just so many things you can do. We don't need to be declawing cats. You know, it's 2018. There's so many things you can do. There's so many cats that can, that are waiting. They're just sitting in shelters. To be honest, like the cats that we pull from like death row from other places, the most common cat is a declawed older cat. You know, it's probably because they've stopped using the litter box, you know? And so oftentimes we'll x-ray their feet to make sure that the declaw didn't leave little pieces of that last digit. Because if that did, you know, then they're basically, if you think about walking, like if you had to walk on your toes, but put like a shard of glass so that every time you stepped, it was poking you, you know? So that's, if that's the case, you know, we can go in and remove that offending tissue and then the cat seems to feel a lot better. Oftentimes these cats are put on long-term arthritis pain medicine like gabapentin or Onsior or a variety of other medications that, that is kind of like designed to help with that type of pain. And I think nowadays rescues, the majority of rescues do not allow declawing. So, you know, if they were to adopt a cat from a rescue that has a no declaw policy, they wouldn't be able to, you know, declaw that cat. Granted, this has happened to us where people have gone behind our backs and declawed cats, which I will never forget, you know, those owners who have done that. Because after they've signed, you know, the waiver saying, you know, we will never declaw this cat, blah, blah, blah. And then they go and do it anyway. There's just nothing that hurts a rescue more, especially if you're passionate about cats. And so, I mean, I think if they look, if they search, they're going to be able to find probably a Siamese cat somewhere, you know, who is declawed. And that's what they should do. That's the responsible thing to do. They should go to wherever that place is and see if they can adopt that cat. If they can't find a Siamese, maybe they would be open to helping another declawed cat that's just sitting in a rescue group or sitting at a humane society. I guess it's kind of becomes more about helping the animal versus trying to get exactly, you know, taking this animal and making it into exactly what you want. I think if they can think about that a little bit, you know, I think that would probably be easiest. There is a website called thepawproject.org. And that is a great website. We actually have a DVD at our clinic that we hand out. We used to hand out to people before we were no declaw, and we would, you know, ask them to please watch that. It's not gory or anything like that, but it's just a really, really good educational tool. So that might be something that they'd be willing to watch. I don't know how willing they would be, but you can go online. It's just thepawproject.org. And it just talks about, you know, that this is a movement now, and it's definitely, it's doing well. So I can only hope that it just continues because we just really shouldn't be declawing cats. It's a medically unnecessary procedure, and it's one that only benefits furniture, really.
Very interesting because, you know, and I think this is sort of like an old wives' tale, but they, you know, they specifically said, you know, our cat doesn't, you know, we never have our cats go outside, and they live high up on a beautiful condo downtown. So, and they were like, our cats never go outside, so there's no way that they would need to protect themselves. So I think that's kind of like an old wives' tale. Not necessarily an old wives' tale, but you know what I mean? Like a rationale that people believe in because they believe that the only reason why they need to have their claws is to protect themselves outside if they escape out the door.
Exactly. Yep. People are so uninformed about what claws actually do for cats. Like that has nothing to do with it. You know, indoor cats, They need their claws just as much as an outdoor cat does.
Okay, quick question. Does scratching ever change with age? Does it become less with age?
Well, I think if you're a really dedicated, devoted owner, yes, I think definitely. You know, there's so many things nowadays that you can use. There's double-sided sticky tape. There's little, like, kitty alarms that if they sense the cat going near an area, a little puff of air or a little sound will emit from the little alarm, kind of scaring the cat away from that area. Certainly there, you can, you know, there's squirt bottles. You can certainly give them a little puff of water, you know, with a squirt bottle. Of course, don't let them see that you're doing it. It almost should look like it's coming from out of nowhere. You know, there's little things that you can do, but it's all a training. It's definitely training. And cats are very, very smart, and they're very...
Oh, I'm going to interrupt you just because we got three yep. seconds to commercial break. Stay with us, Pet Appreciators.
Hi, it's Tom, and I'm inviting you to the Blue State Ball VIP reception, where you can meet me along with Norman Goldman, Matt McNeil, Mike McEntee, and other AM950 hosts. VIP gets underway on March 10th at 5:30, and tickets are still available. The VIP reception is a hosted bar with Minnesota-made beer, wine, and spirits from Ambibulous. Paul Mesta from the Wall of Power Radio Hour will be playing an acoustic set, and there will be lots of delicious Butler Past hors d'oeuvres. Plus, during the VIP only, we'll be giving away signed copies of my books. Then stick around for general admission at 7, where we'll have snacks, a cash bar, and lots of inspiring speakers. So get your Blue State Ball VIP tickets now so you can mingle and take selfies with me, Norman Goldman, and other AM950 hosts. Again, the Blue State Ball VIP reception is Saturday, March 10th at 5:30 at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. Tickets are $100 and can be purchased at am950radio.com. I'll see you at the Blue State Ball on March 10th.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Supporting the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities has never been easier. You'll find an expansive list of local dining options at eatlocalminnesota.com, from classic American comfort food to authentic flavors from around the world. Enjoy all the flavors of Milton's, where they specialize in dishes like grilled jerk chicken, shrimp and grits, and much more, all made from scratch. Pick from Milton's large selection of beer and wine and finish it off with desserts like Bananas Foster. Milton's also serves breakfast every day starting at 7:30 a.m. The Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe is ready for the cold, serving seasonal dishes using locally sourced ingredients, Minnesota craft beers, and organic wines. New items include the cauliflower po' boy, harvest chili, braised beef tostada, and the pork banh mi. Find Seward Co-op Creamery Cafe at 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis and online at coopcreamery.coop.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Thanks for staying with us, Pet Appreciators. You are listening to the Pet Connection Show here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, with Kathy Menard, myself, and Dr. Nicole Perrault, calling in from her home in Wisconsin. So, again, thanks for staying with us. I do want to give Dr. Nicole another chance to finish up anything you wanted to add or finish saying about how you disagree strongly with declawing cats.
Yeah, I think I pretty much covered everything. I think the biggest thing is just, you know, going to thepawproject.org and really kind of digging into everything and looking at their movement and everything like that. And then, you know, if you're on the fence and, you would like to get a cat declawed, certainly go to a cat practice and talk to someone who is against it and have them help you, you know, let them show you how easy it is truly to trim cat nails and how easy it is to encourage them to scratch on the right surfaces. And I've told people that don't have a lot of money, if you just take a 2x4 and you go to like Home Depot or Menards and you get some sisal rope, you know, that thick rope, and you just twist it, you know, all over the whole length of the 2x4 and you put that somewhere, that is going to be your cat's very best friend. They love things that they can really sink their claws into. And it's such a natural behavior for them. So I definitely think if you're on the fence about it, talk to someone who can help you about it. We just really and truly should just not be, should not be doing this anymore. We shouldn't have ever really been doing it. But I think right now there's just so many things we can be doing instead. There's so much support and there's so many groups and things like that. And rescues are trying their hardest, you know, like if, you know, our rescue group, if you say that you can only have a declawed cat, you know, we're going to find you one that is declawed. And most people who have adopted from us are wonderful. They're on board with that. They say, you know, I live in an apartment. I can only have declawed cats. I don't care what the cat looks like, you know, send me your, you know, 5 best options that match what I'm looking for. And that's just heartwarming to me because they want a cat, but they want to help out in a way that maybe others wouldn't. And, you know, they don't care so much what a cat looks like. They just want to help one find a home. And I wish that was just the way things were, you know, across the board. I wish people, you know, didn't care so much about, you know, finding an exact look, you know, of an animal. But I get it. I mean, I do get it that if you're a fan of a certain breed, you know, you probably are prone to and drawn to them for reasons. But I just think there's so many ways that we can help without doing medically unnecessary surgeries to cats.
Very well said, Dr. Nicole. And so thank you so much for that. I've been just frantically writing notes, you know, just to have a conversation because I am taking care of their other cat right now. Just a beautiful Siamese cat, just a wonderful cat. And you know what? He was the one that lost his brother, and I talked about it on the show because this cat was seriously depressed and was not eating. I mean, it went almost a week, and I think you, if I didn't talk it on the show about it on the show, I talked about it with you over the phone, and you were like, Kathy, try tuna. And you know what? We tried tuna, and I tell you, that cat is 180 degrees different. Yeah. I mean, he went for the tuna right away. And I mean, like within seconds, I mean, it was that magical. And matter of fact, I still give him tuna a couple times a day now when I take care of him. But totally different. He has recovered from the grief, although I'm sure he still misses his brother littermate. But yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, that life continues on with him. And I'm glad that the owners are ready now, you know, maybe for another cat, but I'm going to, you know, talk about that with them, you know, just professionally. And because I really, you know, I just don't want to be in the middle, not the middle, but,
right,
you know, there's that balance of, you know, if you end up adopting, it is your cat, you know what I mean? And I can't control that or whatever, but we can try and give you the very, very best and, you know, information that's out there. And is there the Paw Project, Dr. Nicole, is that? Oh, and I have another question, so I don't want to drag this on too much, but do they have, like, chapters, so to speak, in every state and in different countries, or is it just one location where you basically communicate with them on the web?
You know, I'm not 100% sure on that aspect. I mean, I know there are, you know, there are groups for veterinarians, you know, that are no declaw vets and things like that. Those are even made public for people because a lot of cat people, they actually seek out a veterinarian for their cat who is a no declaw vet, even if, you know, just because they might want that type of veterinarian taking care of their cat, you know. So there's groups like that for vets out there. There's a database even, I think, if you can check if your vet is a no declaw vet. I mean, it's a big thing now. I'm not sure on the Paw Project though if you know, if there's a way to where people communicate. It's basically a website with just a ton of information. There might be a link to the video, and there's a lot of, like, the legislative things that are happening. Like I said, in Nova Scotia, there's stuff on Denver and New York and New Jersey, you know, information on all of the anti-declaw bills and all of that stuff. So you might just have to kind of peruse through it, and I think it changes all the time, too. I don't have a a ton of time to be on the website, but I have visited there frequently. I just don't know if people, I don't think there's like a way to chat with others or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Now we have just under 3 minutes here for another question. This is with another client, a brand new client. We started walking her dog just on Thursday. So we're going to walk her every day. And she's, I think she's an English sheepdog, and she's about 7 or 8 months and just beautiful and delightful, etc. Now, she was honest, and she said that her dog is it spayed for females?
Yep.
Okay, so she's not spayed yet, so we probably don't want to do the field trips where there's a lot of interaction with other dogs and being out in the community a lot quite yet. But she said her breeder has a form that all, owners adopting from, and maybe this is common, I don't know, pet appreciators, but it specifically says you cannot spay or neuter your dog from, if you want to adopt from us, or not adopt, but no, buy from us, you cannot do it until they're at least close to 18 months. Now, they will have already gone through a heat or two, for sure one, I would think, by then, which obviously ups their rate of getting cancer, mammary cancer or whatever.
Yep.
So that infuriates me. And why is that? Because it says that if you do, they can come and take that dog away from you. I've given you 60 seconds. Is that common? I mean, what is that? Come on.
Oh, Kathy, we are presented with forms up the wazoo from breeders with their rules and everything like that. And it is frustrating. So I will tell you really quickly that there are studies out there now that show that if you do spay and neuter your large breed dogs later in life, not later in life, but between 1 and 2 years of age, that they might be less likely to have like ACL tears and things like that. So there is some truth to that, but usually that is oftentimes for males versus females. I definitely still recommend that females be spayed at least before their first cycle or between their first and second. I don't have a problem with letting them grow to maturity, but I don't think people should be forced either. I think people need to make their own decision, but we do have a lot of male large breed dogs that are waiting until they're 1 to 2 years of age right now to be neutered.
Okay, and I don't understand the connection between neutered and ACL. I don't get that connection, but that's for another conversation. Pet appreciators, thank you so much for joining us. We wish you the very, very best week, and stay safe out there.